The closing market report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123, or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Monday, March 20th, 2006. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign. In agricultural news, the chairman of the Senate Ag Committee and the USDA Ag Secretary are not seeing eye to eye over implementation of a national animal ID system. Also, there may be some minor movement from Japan toward reopening its border to U.S. beef, and bird flu is under discussion among Illinois officials. I'll have details of these and other stories this half hour. Also this half hour, a look at the agricultural weather with the folks from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago. It's all on the Monday edition of your Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Be sure to join us this evening at the American Legion Post 527 in Cisna Park, Illinois, for another one of our free AM 580 Agricultural Outlook panels. Tonight's meeting gets underway at 7 o'clock. Panelists for the meeting include Pete Manhart and Greg Feller of Bates Commodities, University of Illinois agricultural economist Daryl Good, and Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. That's tonight at 7 o'clock at the American Legion Post 527. The meeting is free and no advance reservation is required. Here's how prices settled Monday afternoon in Kansas City. May wheat at 413 and three quarters, down 7 3/4. May wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 350 and a quarter, down 7 1/4. July, 362 and a quarter, down 7 3/4. May corn, 218 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. July, 228 and three quarters, down 3 1/2. September, 238 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. December, 250 and a half, down 2 3/4. May soybeans, 572 and a half, down 4. July, 585 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. August, 588 and a half, down 4 3/4. November, 601 and a quarter, down 4. May soybean meal, 173.30, down 50. May soybean oil, 22.91, down 33. At the Merck, March feeders, 105.62 and a half, up 115. April live cattle, 83.35, up 32 and a half. April lean hogs, 59 even, down 10 on the day. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Before we get to the particulars in each pit, let's go ahead and get a general overall impression of why the markets were softer today.
Well, it's mainly technical selling. When you look at the player sheet there, it's very evident that your funds were sellers. They were sold up anywhere from 7,000 to 8,000 contracts of corn. One particular firm sold up to 13,000 contracts of some call options, sort of taking a defensive stance there in the corn pit. In the bean pit, they were sellers of a couple thousand contracts. In the wheat pit, of course, they were 5,000 contract sellers. In the Chicago, probably a little bit more in Kansas City, because they've been short the Chicago market. They were still along a little over 40,000 contracts prior to today's trade in Kansas City. And as we move lower in here, we continue to trip sell programs. The technical indicators have been flashing the red light, which means sell, and they'll probably stay in that type of defensive posture until we get some stabilization or some type of turnaround to give them reason to ease off the sell lights.
Let's go ahead and look at some of those sell red light particulars. May corn, went through its 20-day moving average today and also broke support at 217.5, that from 24 January. Do we look for the downside 213.5 now?
Well, that's going to be the next level as we keep breaking support here. There's always another level of support until we start making new contract lows, but it was fairly important for May to hold 220 and through here. You can go back and draw in speed lines and Fibonacci retracements and so forth. Nothing's really catching in through here. So maybe tomorrow morning we can have a good old-fashioned reversal to establish a turn, and that means make a new low and close higher here, which gives a trade a little confidence to recover somewhat. But the trend is down. The trend is your friend. Seasonally, we're down through this. It's been well advertised all winter long. Talked about once you get past this March 15th that there's no real weather concerns. The risk is to the downside, and weather-wise, you know, ample. In fact, some areas too much moisture out west, and they're getting a good dose. And here in the Midwest, we're going to see some heavy snows in through Iowa, and some precipitation here in the east again.
And the same, the Deeves corn, it's actually approaching the 100-day moving average, 249.5. You look for it to hold around that level.
Well, psychological-wise, maybe we can get some strength in through here or support. What we need is some firms to come out and maybe show quite a few less corn acres than a year ago to give the fundamental justification to buy it, or else we need to see some more Asian business. There has been some Asian business taking place, and the significance of that is that maybe China has sort of held back in here and putting corn on the world market. I seriously doubt that statement I just made, but there's always that ray of hope maybe we could move in on some of that Asian business and keep these exports strong.
Do you think that China has corn to put on the world market?
Well, see, that's the big debate. The fear was that bird flu would come in and they would see feed demand go down. If that's the case, they would have ample supplies to move around. The other thing is there's a huge demand base, but you got to remember, China had a fairly good crop of corn this past year, so they've got ample supplies to satisfy that demand. So I think the trade's watching, further developments of this bird flu. There's some Chinese officials that did say that would not be a major event here this spring. If that's the case, then I doubt if they are going to let the market move a whole lot on fears of less feed demand due to bird flu, because bird flu, they'll continue to feed it, and therefore it could maybe be a little tighter situation in China than what the world market really realizes.
Off the opening bell in the soybean pit this morning, we saw a little bit of hand-to-mouth in the commercials. But it looks like, to me, Kurt, when that dried up, the prices just couldn't be supported.
Yeah, fairly much so. There's always that little hand-to-mouth demand here. We're sort of waiting for the Brazilian government's estimate of their crop. They did take it down to 57.2 million metric tons versus 58.2 last month. But, man, when you're looking at record world supplies, beans, I mean, 4 or 5 million metric tons is not going to put a dent in it. So that sort of gave, when those numbers came out there midday, that gave the trade confidence, may push a little lower. Every day that goes by, Brazil continues to advance in their harvest progress. They're estimated to be about 30% harvested. With that record crop coming into the market from Brazil, and Argentine's crop even continues to grow, these beans have to find a home, and unfortunately, they're probably going to provide bearish stance to the Board of Trade prices.
And the export sales missed by the trade on the downside again.
Well, that's the thing. We'll continue to watch these sales, but traditionally the world market goes to the southern hemisphere. They're only about 20 cents cheaper than the U.S. market. Historically, that is fairly tight for this time of year, so we're still in the marketplace where we could capture some business in through here, but as these beans come on, it's going to be a challenge.
And the May beans, we saw break of the 572.5 level, and there's nothing between there and 559.5, Kurt.
Well, you're correct. You can find all kinds of different levels to look at. Probably the most significant would be the January low. If we would move much below there, we'd be in a position to make new lows for the year, per se, and psychologically that's not too supportive.
What was your analysis over in the wheat pit?
Well, just confirmation that the Western Belt did receive rain. Talked to quite a few guys out in that area, and as far as just raw rain. It was anywhere from a half to 2 inches of rain. Then a lot of 8 to 10 inches of snow with another 4 to 6 inches on the way. There was some forecast as much as over 20 inches of snow. That's going to slow down movement out in that area, but that's well-welcome moisture for those dry areas.
Do you think that the May wheat is looking for its gap at 345 and three quarters?
Well, that's a ways down there. I'd say probably, you know, today's low would probably catch it here short term. Probably the most of the risk is in the Kansas City wheat. I think Chicago has pretty well been a follower in through here. If you were to unwind these spreads in here, I would say from here on out, most of the risk would be in the Kansas City futures versus Chicago.
Thank you very much, Kurt. Have a great afternoon.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Kurt joins us every Monday during the closing market report and Monday mornings during our opening market report. A winter storm warning is in effect for Christian, DeWitt, Logan, Macon, and Sangamon counties from 9 p.m. this evening to 4 p.m. on Tuesday. And a winter storm watch is in effect for Champaign, Clark, Coles, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, McLean, Moultrie, Piatt, Shelby, and Vermilion counties from 9 p.m. this evening till 4 p.m. on Tuesday. Tonight, windy in all sections. In the far north, cloudy. In the far south, rain. Elsewhere, a mix of precipitation arriving, changing to all snow, and lows ranging from 22 in the far north to 34 degrees in the far south. In agricultural news, U.S. officials are privately suggesting that there may be movement by Japan toward reopening its markets to U.S. beef. Over the weekend, USDA provided Japan with answers to 20 questions on the U.S. beef inspection system. At the same time, the issue has moved up the protocol ladder. Now, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is discussing the impasse with counterparts in Japan. And the Japanese government is saying the issue will not return to Japan's slow-moving, highly political Food Safety Commission. Over the weekend, the U.S. ambassador to Japan said a prolonged import ban could set off, in his words, a trade war. South Korea had planned to resume beef trade with the U.S. early next month, but according to a Korean government official, the Agriculture Ministry will likely push that back by a few weeks, with the resumption of imports likely starting in early May. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Economist Greg Dowd does not rule out a delay in the process until May, but he says it's more likely South Korea's delay will amount to a few days.
The official is that we have about a one-week delay here. They were set to come over here on the 19th to do an audit of our processing facilities to get this thing up and running. They're not coming to the 26th, and it has to do with the logistics of how many plants they're coming to see and getting all the folks ready to do that. There are some discussions with regard to the age of this animal. I think there are some mixed signals coming out of Korea. The age of this animal is crystal clear. She was very old. That's not the issue, but we do have to get sorted out their process to come over here and look at these plants. I think it probably has cost us a week, 10 days here, but looking at the timeline, it depends on how long it takes for them to get through the plants here. Once we get that done, you know, they've got to go home and file their report, but it looks like to me we're still plus or minus, you know, late April time frame. You see them talking about May. I hope it doesn't slide that long, but it did cost us a little bit here, but we're still working on it.
USDA officials are saying it will likely test a six-week-old calf for mad cow disease. The calf is the offspring of last week's BSE-confirmed cow. The calf is currently under observation at USDA's Ames, Iowa testing facility. The calf was found on the same Alabama farm where the third case of BSE in the U.S. was discovered after brain samples were removed and sent for testing. The U.S. has requested a WTO dispute panel on Canada's Border Services Agency determination that U.S. corn was illegally dumped. The two nations have 60 days to settle their differences. After that, the U.S. can request a dispute panel in the WTO if an agreement is not reached. U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman says Canada failed to consider a number of WTO-required factors in its injury findings case. Local, state, and federal health agencies met in Rosemont, Illinois late last week to discuss how to respond to a possible outbreak of avian influenza. Sean Olley reports.
Towns and cities across Illinois are busy planning for a possible flu pandemic. Many local governments say the effort requires more money from Washington. The federal government is footing some of the bill for that planning, but U.S. Secretary of Human Services Mike Leavitt says the bulk of the work must be local.
We will work to develop vaccines. We will build stockpiles of antivirals. We will be developing monitoring on a national and international basis. But when it comes to caring for the people who are sick in your town, in your state, Illinois is going to have to look after Illinois.
Health experts in Illinois say towns need to work on keeping critical infrastructure operating during a pandemic. For example, doctors will want most workers to stay home, but power and water facilities will need to stay open. They say those kinds of decisions need to be made before the flu or other health disaster hits the U.S. I'm Sean Ali.
China has authorized imports of GMO soybeans from Brazil for the next 5 years. Brazil started commercializing GMO soy in 2004. Soy represents 25% of Brazil's total exports to China. A bill making its way through the Missouri General Assembly would put up a roadblock for companies that want to build biodiesel plants in the state. If passed, the law would require companies to have at least 51% ownership from Missouri-based agricultural producers actively engaged in agricultural production for commercial purposes. Senate Ag Committee Chairman Saxby Chambliss says lawmakers will take on the responsibility of how the U.S. will craft a nationwide animal ID system. The Georgia Republican says legislation will be part of the 2007 Farm Bill to, in his words, make sure it's done right. USDA Secretary Mike Johann's reaction was swift. He said USDA and private industry representatives have already completed much of the groundwork for an ID system at significant cost, and that USDA will not wait for the Farm Bill.
Because it's good business. I mean, it really is. Producers understand that it is good business. Animal ID is its time has come. We have foreign competitors out there who are moving their animal ID systems. They're making the case that they have the animal ID system. They are doing everything they can to use it as a competitive advantage. So I'm very, very confident that producers see this as good business.
Even though Johann's has often said a national animal ID system will eventually become mandatory, he insisted a private sector approach to implementing the system makes the most sense.
We believe very, very strongly that government does not need to reinvent the wheel here. And you're going to see the private sector, in fact, you have already, doing traceability systems and ready to sign up animals. And so I think once we get through some of the technical requirements we have, I think you're going to see traceability is going to be available through the private sector really right away.
Johann's also said he consulted with USDA's Office of the General Counsel and believes USDA has the necessary authority to implement a mandatory national animal ID system without new legislation from Congress. And Senate Finance Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley is headed to Brazil and Argentina this week with a delegation of House and Senate lawmakers. Grassley says the trip will include a number of ag-related stops, but mostly relate to international trade issues. During the trip, Grassley says congressional members will visit a soybean export terminal, a soybean farm, a sugarcane ethanol facility, and a flex fuel manufacturing plant. The delegation is also scheduled to meet with a number of Brazilian and Argentine trade officials. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Taking a quick look at outside markets, April crude oil settling at $60.42, down $2.35. The CRB at $320.63, down $5.20. The S&P 500, $13.05.01, down $2.24. And Goldman Sachs at $420.03, down $10.40. Joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. Well, I suppose that in the last week or so, things have been relatively quiet. Is that the case?
I would say so. We've seen a lack of fresh news in the markets, and speculative funds on the floor have decided to liquidate some of their long position. So we've seen the last few trading days a slide in corn and bean and wheat futures.
Do you suppose basis is going to continue to get sloppy?
I would say old crop basis for both corn and beans has firmed here recently due to the collapse in the board. New crop basis, however, is a different story. It has continued to weaken based on projected ending carryouts.
And those carryouts are, well over 2 billion bushels, correct?
That is correct. And looking at a record-breaking 600 million bushel carryout for beans, could be a record since the early 80s.
With farmers holding, what kind of prices do you think they're looking for in the old and new crops at this time?
I would say right now, 210 to 215 old crop corn, somewhere in the 560 to 570 range old crop beans. I think new crop-wise on the corn side, you're probably waiting somewhere around the 260 mark. Right now, we're about a dime away from that on the lower end. Bean-wise, I would say somewhere towards the $5.90 to $6 range. So we're ways away from a lot of guys' targets, and I think they may be willing to sit and hold out for a little while longer to see if we can capture some more gain in the market.
Hold out for a while, but I suppose at some point they're going to have to pull the trigger, and if they all pull the trigger together, what will happen to basis then?
I would say that the basis will collapse, and I think that's a pretty foregone conclusion when they do, because there's a lot of grain out there, and once it decides to move, both the board and the basis will see some significant pressure.
What is the impact of this snowstorm that's happening in the western Corn Belt on basis?
I would say right now basis is probably going to strengthen a little bit because transportation will be limited. And as far as movement goes, end users will be looking to somehow stir that. But I think that even though the basis will improve, that if they do project as much snow as they get, that it may not cure the potential ailment in the short term.
Brian, your prices today?
March corn, 203. May corn, 208. July, 216. Fall, 226. March beans, 556. May, 560. July, 572. Fall, 577.
Brian, you have a great day.
You too, Dave. Thank you.
Brian Stark of the Andersons in Champaign, Illinois. The Andersons join us every Monday with cash grain analysis on the Closing Market Report.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. There's been no testimony today at the murder trial of Maurice Legrone Jr., who is charged with murdering 3 children who drowned in Clinton Lake in 2003. The case began this morning with the public banned from the courtroom as 2 witnesses testified. Afterwards, DeWitt County Judge Stephen Peters says the meeting this morning had nothing to do with the evidence being presented in Legrone's case. Media attorney Don Craven asked the judge to include in the court record any order he issues based on that meeting. Springfield's city-owned utility says electricity has finally been restored today for some Springfield residents left in the dark a week when 2 tornadoes hit central Illinois. City Water, Light, and Power faced the daunting task of restoring power to 65,000 customers after the March 12th storm. Ameren, which has been assisting the Springfield utility as well as making repairs in its own service areas, says its crews will complete their work by the end of the day. State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington says he's on course to win, heading into tomorrow's Republican primary election for Illinois governor. Brady hit Bloomington, Springfield, and Chicago today to urge supporters to go to the polls and vote for him. Brady says his latest poll numbers show him surging and running close with frontrunner Judy Barr Topinka. He says he's not worried about a predicted winter storm heading for Illinois dropping voter turnout tomorrow. He says his voters are more committed to voting than anyone else. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says new optical scan voting machines should cut down on defective ballots and bring in quick results in tomorrow's primary. Mark Sheldon says there have been few problems as his staff tests the equipment, which reads a ballot much like a standardized test. A newspaper poll finds Indiana residents narrowly favor keeping state laws that ban most Sunday alcohol sales. The Indianapolis Star poll found 50% favored keeping the laws, while 43% would like to see the Sunday sale of beer, wine, and liquor. The margin of error was plus or minus 4.4 percentage points. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Let's start right in the Midwest and get the update on what the snow conditions will be.
Yeah, well, certainly a potent late winter, or actually early spring storm here. That's now going to be exiting the plains here over the next 24 hours, moving into the Midwest. And, yeah, it's going to bring a swath of very heavy snow across areas such as northern Missouri, central Missouri, and on into the central areas of Illinois. So across areas such as from Jacksonville on over to Springfield, Decatur, and Champaign can get in the range of about 4 to 8 inches, some localized even heavier amounts. Quite a rare situation for this time of year, and thinking more of winter than any kind of spring-like situation here across the nation's midsection.
And this storm has some legs, can get to Ohio too?
Yeah, certainly it'll be tracking eastward here, so getting much of the Ohio Valley region and then on into the Mid-Atlantic. But by that time, actually, it'll be quite a weaker storm compared to how it'll be over the next 24 hours.
Let's turn our attention to international regions then. Brazil, boy, they got some rain over the weekend.
Yeah, some heavy rains in portions of Mato Grosso state, but does not look like that would warrant any kind of major issue or put up any kind of flag at this time. That still can be kind of a normal situation at this time of year, and that overall is the pattern across the northern areas of Brazil. Yeah, you see some scattered thunderstorm development on a daily basis, but as we get into April, that should begin to wind down, and then across other areas of like southern Brazil and Argentina is going to remain on the dry side over the next week to 10 days. Southern Brazil is going to be on the wet side this week, with drier conditions moving next week. So really, no big issues here as we begin to harvest more of the crop here across South America at this time.
So no significant harvest delays?
No. A few isolated spots here and there, but at this time, their progress is actually ahead of schedule. And with the upcoming pattern, that should continue this rapid harvest pace.
Other places you're keeping an eye on globally today?
Yeah, we're watching Europe. They're in an improving situation as over the next couple of weeks they warm up from unseasonably cold temperatures that have dominated. So that'll allow more and more of the crop, of their winter wheat crop, to actually break winter dormancy and begin spring growth.
What about Western Australia?
Well, at this time, overall, it's a fairly kind of seasonal pattern across that area. The kind of big news for Australia is up in the northeastern area where we saw actually a Category 5 hurricane, or actually a typhoon for that area, move into the area over the weekend. And it looks like that is kind of the active spot, northeastern Australia, but actually not much crop grown in those areas where the storm hit.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome, David.
Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
And that's today's Closing Market Report. Join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our pre-opening market report. And remember, you can hear today's futures analysis, cash grain report, and weather on the web. Go to WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey.